This is Glitterbeam.
Hi listeners, and welcome to another special here with us at Glitterbeam Radio. I'm at my home studio right now, and I have Eugenio with me, who is in his home studio. Hey Eugenio.
Yes, hello, good afternoon Mikey.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm good, apart from the fact that it's Sunday and it doesn't look like a Sunday. I mean, or every other day looks like a Sunday. It's confusing.
Oh, tell me about it. All the days are blending into one for me right now. I'm not even keeping track.
Yes, it's extremely confusing. I mean, well, unfortunately, we have another few weeks to do this way, so it's better than we get used to.
Exactly. But all that nastiness aside, we're here with a very special for you guys, and we have a special guest, and she is called Blair Sinclair.
Woo, I love it. Yeah. I can't wait.
Yeah, she's going to be so fun, and she's going to join us via Skype. Which is going to be great. So, let's listen to one of her songs right now. This is Call My Life by Blair Sinclair.
Every day is a busy tone, and I hear it, 'cause it's calling by your voice unknown. Gotta filter, it's all for show, you believe it, but you never really know, I know. And you're never gonna see every part of me, but I make you believe that I can make you mine. But I'm sick of this game, put it on vibrate, gonna do it my way, it's time, baby. Call my life, here I am, I've been waiting for you. Call my life, take a chance, 'cause I know you're real too. Call my life, here I am, I've been waiting for you. Call my life, take a chance, 'cause I know you're real too.
Na na na, oh na na na, na na na, oh na na na, na na na, oh na na na, na na na, oh na na na.
In a world where it's only me, disconnected, shout with my mind inside. I've been craving for something real, and it's all here. What I seek, I lose, I find, I hide. And you're never gonna see every part of me, but I make you believe that I can make you mine. But I'm sick of this game, put it on vibrate, gonna do it my way, it's time, baby. Call my life, here I am, I've been waiting for you. Call my life, take a chance, 'cause I know you're real too.
Letterbeam Radio, the music with Sparko, and finally with us via Skype on the phone is Blair St. Clair. Hi, Blair.
Hi, how are you? Thank you so much for having me.
How are you?
I'm great. You know, besides the fact that I'm being in quarantine right now, I'm trying to make the best of it.
I know. We are all in the same situation. So, Blair, we got a few questions for you. We want to know everything, all the tea. I'm joking. We're talking about you. So, Mikey, you start.
Hey, Blair. So, you were the first drag race from the state of Indiana. A lot of our listeners obviously won't have been there, may not have done any research about Indiana and the state of Indiana. So, do you want to tell us a little bit about the drag world in Indiana or the LGBTQIA scene in Indiana?
Yeah, actually, Indiana is a really different state, like here in the United States, because the main city, our capital of the city, is Indianapolis, and that's where I'm from. And that city is very liberal. It's very open and accepting and very industrial. It's one of the biggest industrial cities in the United States. Is very conservative. So I lived in like this little bubble growing up in a kind of liberal city in a very conservative overall place. But the drag community there is more based on what maybe Queens today would consider quote unquote old school drag, where it's definitely based on pageantry and based on how long you've been doing drag and what house you're in and where you've come from and what family you're in. It's kind of about initially how drag kind of first started, and besides like to where it's evolved today.
Wow, awesome. So do you think since you've been on Drag Race, it's changed at all? Is it is the scene hyped up anymore, or has it remained sort of the same?
Yeah, actually, oddly enough, for a smaller town in the United States, Indianapolis used to be one of the drag capitals of the United States years ago. And cool. I think that after doing Drag Race, it's blown up a little bit more because I think people have said, you know, if Blair could do it, maybe I could do it too. And I think maybe I've inspired some others to branch out and try some new things and to kind of step outside of their box and to do a couple, you know, something different. And that's really exciting for me. And, you know, I can't take credit if that's really why the scene has maybe changed a little bit, but I definitely see it evolving.
That's amazing.
That's good. It's amazing. It is. It's really, really good.
Yes. So, of course, Blair, you are an amazing singer. We know that. Your music has been very well received in the charts, not just in the United States, but in UK as well. But you also act, you dance. So, is there anything in the entertainment field that you actually prefer to do between acting, dancing, singing?
Yes. My number one dream, I guess you could say, is that I would love to take my career to Broadway one day in the United States or in the West End the UK. I would love to do a live show. I'm also working on, well, after I'm allowed to get out of quarantine because production has stopped everywhere, but I'm also working on a new TV show or two, and I'm also filming two new movies this next year. So I love acting so much. Yeah, I'm really lucky.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. I mean, so one of the things we were going to ask you about is the future of Blair St. Clair. I mean, can you indulge us a little bit with these new movies?
Yeah. So I have definitely been trying to take my career to doing all the things I've ever wanted to do with my life and just kind of do them a little one at a time. It's so hard to do everything at once. But my goal is to hopefully do more TV shows, more movies. Like I said, I would love to go to Broadway or to the West End and perform live. And I also have a new album coming out this summer, and I would love to be able to take that on the road and tour a mini concert version of that album.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that would be fun. Yeah. Oh, if you're in the UK doing that, you need to let us know because we will be there 100%.
Of course.
Oh, I absolutely will. I think people will be really excited and kind of shocked to hear the things I've been working on. I've been really blessed to be able to be working with a lot of really great producers in the music industry, and we've changed my sound quite a bit to a little bit less dance pop, to more of like a mainstream pop sound. And but there's still a lot of bops in there. There's a couple more emotional songs in there. There's a whole range of things that just about anyone can identify with and relate to.
Amazing. I'm so looking forward to hearing these because I love the albums that you've released. I love the album that you've released so far, and it's literally the number one on my favorites playlist.
Thank you.
Yeah. So waiting for this next one is going to be a great.
My goal is to make this next one even better than the first one for you.
Oh, you've set the bar really high. You've set the bar, so I'm expecting amazing things.
I promise I'll deliver.
Fantastic. Thank you. So one of the things I wanted to touch on was obviously in the show, you shared a very difficult part of your life. And, you know, it made a huge impact for a lot of viewers where, you know, people who are unfortunately going through similar experiences and the same thing. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that moment where you decided to open up? You know, what made that particular moment the right time to open up about it? And, you know, what messages of feedback and for support have you received since?
Yeah, you know, if you've ever been in that moment and you say afterward, you're like, I totally blacked out. I have no idea what's going on. It was one of those type of moments for me. I think while filming Drag Race, you're so tired. You're so emotionally invested in the show. You work so hard every single day. And I think I had just reached that point where I was emotionally just exhausted, and I was physically exhausted too. And I was also being criticized in that moment. And I think that I just like felt so, such a need to feel a release. And I think that my heart knew when to speak out before my brain really did. And I think that it just kind of all just kind of came out, because what you didn't see on Drag Race, because obviously they can't show 100% of what happens because we don't have 24 hours of time to watch Drag Race. But what was happening on the judging panel is I was being not interrogated. I wouldn't use that word, but they were definitely coming at me saying like, well, why are you feeling this way? And why are you feeling this way? And why are you feeling this way? And what are you talking about? And why are you feeling this way? And I think I just blurted it out and be like, I'm feeling this way because, you know, I've had past trauma. And I think it was just kind of like a release all at one time to come forward and just kind of say that. And after it happened, I was almost like, oh my gosh, that was like the first time I think I've ever said that really out loud. Wow. And then it didn't even click in my brain until a week or so after. I was like, oh my gosh, not only was that like the first time, but that was recorded. That was on TV. That's going to be on TV one day. And I actually went through a lot of like fear of like, oh my gosh, like I can't believe that that's going to be on TV for people to watch and for me to go back and watch for the rest of my life. And I had to definitely open up and talk to a lot of people and say like, hey, this is what happened to me in the past. And this is what happened to me when I was filming Drag Race. And instead of me taking it as a negative of like, wow, I just revealed a lot about myself, many people encouraged me to say, wow, I opened up a conversation for many people to hopefully find solutions in their life or places of escape or for healing for themselves.
And definitely, so I 100%.
I tried to take that to make it much more positive route.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things we were talking about with one of our last, one of the other queens that we've just recently been speaking to, we were saying that, you know, Drag Race is all great. There's a lot of laughs. There's a lot of fun to be had. You know, you guys providing all this entertainment, seeing you putting all this energy into it. But they all have that serious aspect. What I've noticed, a lot of the queens tend to open up in that particular moment. And perhaps, like you said, it's because of everything which is happening currently at that time. And you reach that point where you just need to get everything out. And I think one of the things that everyone that watches the show, they all take a little bit of that away with them, because they say in this, it's something that we relate to, and they know they can see you. They say, you know, this has happened, and look, they're pushing on. They are continuing with everything. They are doing the best that they can, and hopefully inspiring those to be able to do the same thing.
Absolutely. I was doing a podcast earlier this week, and so someone said, like, hey, I really love interviewing people that like want to take the topics that I talk about on my specific podcast more seriously versus then campy and silly. And I said, I couldn't agree more, because I feel like sometimes we wear drag physically, but sometimes we speak drag verbally. You know, we say some things that, you know, as the community finds funny or silly. And if you remove all of that, you obviously find a core of a person inside every single person you speak to. And so that really touched me. And it was really special to kind of have that moment of like, hey, I'm a really fun, campy, silly human being, but I also have a lot of, you know, real problems, but also great things in my life too, that I'd love to talk about on like a real level. So that was like a really great escape for me to do that kind of podcast this past week.
This is nice. Very important, because we always need to remember that you are entertainers, you're singers, you're dancers, you're actors, but you are primarily people, person. There
exactly.
is a person,
you're a human.
With a story. There is a human story, and every story is different, and every story is actually valuable, and especially for the LGBTQ plus community, every story shared on such a platform like Drag Race can be, it's extremely, extremely important, because there are similar stories that don't have the chance to get told. So it is important, because
exactly.
that is a reality check that we all have in the middle of the drama, the reading, the snatch game, and things like that. Now, dear Blair, let's be stupid and silly for once.
I'd love that.
Okay, so
love that.
Let's come in back to the present. Today, all our life have suddenly come to a forced stop. So we want to know, an average day for Blair Sinclair during the lockdown. And if there is anything also that you might want to suggest to the listeners that are at home and possibly alone, what do you do? From the morning. So you wake up and?
So I set a schedule for myself, because I know what works for me. And what works for me is to have like a daily routine. So every single morning I wake up at 8:30 in the morning. And that's my time in the United States. I wake up, I let my dog out, I make a cup of coffee, I make him breakfast, and we watch an hour of TV, just because like I like to get my brain waking up, I like to get my body waking up and moving, and my dog follows me all over the house. I try to do a couple chores every day. I eat at noon, and I eat at 7, or like between 6 and 7 p.m., and I go to sleep about like midnight every day. But in between there, I have been like working on making internet content, like making videos. I've been making wigs for different clients, because I also have a small business called Hair by Blair.
Yes,
Official.
Yes. We're going to touch base on that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So I definitely have a small business that I'm still working from home doing. So that kind of is helping me keep busy a little bit. But I find that if I'm busy, if I'm doing something and I'm not just sitting on my phone scrolling through, okay, who posted this, who posted that, then it keeps me a little bit more sane, a little bit more normal, to have like a routine and to have something to do.
No, exactly. We all spend too much time on our phones, let's face it, scrolling through Facebook.
Oh, I absolutely do. Yeah.
So,
now is also the perfect time. Now's the perfect time, because there's so many people that are on their phones. So if you need to reach out to somebody or do anything on your phone, I'm sure you'll get a hold of them now.
Oh, definitely, definitely. I mean, if you can't get hold of someone now, I'm sorry, yeah, cut them
exactly.
out.
Exactly.
So, obviously, Blair Sinclair at home. So, does Blair have the chance to escape, or is it all Andrew? What's going on right now?
Yeah, so it's funny, because my drag aesthetic really started out as an entire escape for my life. And now I feel like Blair is me, but just like just me in a costume. I feel like we've really become pretty much the same person, but my boyfriend always notices. He's like that's true, but when you're Blair, he's like, there's like a little switch that's flicked, and you suddenly kind of like turn into like, I'm in Blair mode. I'm the same person, but I'm in Blair mode. So it's definitely like, it's definitely like a little bit more of an animated me, and my body mannerisms, everything changes completely. And it's just like, I feel like they've become more of like one person these days.
That's cool. So I'm assuming before, when you started Drag Race, you had this perception that there was two different characters. Like, there was Andrew and there was Blair, but now it's all sort of merging into one. So do you believe that Blair's giving you more confidence as a person?
Actually, I originally thought Blair was going to give me more confidence as a person. But if anything, I think Blair gave me the escape to try new things that I never would have tried. And sometimes you fail really, really hard. And that's okay, because like every time you fail, you like learn something. But I obviously now have a much larger audience than I did before. So if you fail, you have a lot more people that notice, you know, the fail or notice you doing something maybe wrong. So if anything, I wouldn't say it's given me more confidence, but it's definitely given me more of, I'd say more of a realistic approach to things instead of just being like, hey, I'm going to do this, you know, willy nilly or whatever. It's made me sit back and think like, hey, could this offend somebody? Could this hurt somebody? Is this the right thing to do? Is this something that I stand behind and I morally also accept? Or is this something that I would really, you know, put my faith behind, because I have a really large audience of people. And it now affects whatever I do affects much more people today than it ever used to.
No, definitely.
I love the fact that suddenly every time after Blair is doing a very serious concept, I come back and say, okay, Blair, now a stupid question. it's maybe because I'm Italian. No. I don't know. But Blair, you stay at home. For some reason, every single queen that we've been talking to, from Nina West, from the UK, Divina Da Campo, they don't talk about eating. So I want to know, first of all, during your day, you said you eat. You didn't say, what do you eat? And just to let you know, if you say, oh, I eat a lot with that body, I might start swearing at you in Italian. also, I would like to know if there is anything. You said you do chores, you probably cook, you eat. So if there is anything at home that you're really very, very, very good at, and there is something that you really can't stand doing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I do cook a lot. And I'm lucky because I have a really fast metabolism. So don't start swearing at me. But I do eat a lot. I do eat a lot during this quarantine. We've done this new thing, my boyfriend and I, because we live together. We've done this fun thing where we write down 7 meals, like for dinner, for the entire week. And we write them on little pieces of paper. We put them in a jar. And then each day we kind of like put our hand in the jar and we pull out what we're going to have for dinner that night. So it's kind of like really a mystery fun. Yeah, it's like a mystery. Like, what are we going to eat tonight? We know it's one of 7 options, but what could it be? And so that's kind of fun to play, like a random guessing game of like what we're going to eat for dinner. So last night we made like tuna steaks and salad and like roasted green beans. And we had a side of sweet potatoes, which was really, really good. I think that I'm a really good cook. Now, I know that's like, no one can really verify or vouch for me because not many people can really taste my cooking, but I think I'm next level chef. I'm just saying. I'm just
okay,
saying.
So given really that you are this. Talking with two quite chubby people, one of them Italian as well, challenge is on for when you come to UK. The challenge is on.
Okay, I'm ready.
Awesome. We'll all cook something and we'll all get it on the table. Okay.
So
I love that idea. That sounds great.
Yeah, it's good, Mike, isn't it?
I mean, the amount of people who, like me and my husband, I mean, the amount of times we sit there and we're like, what do you want to eat? Oh, I don't know. What do you want to eat? But I'm asking you, what do you want to eat? Oh, come on, you just go for it. I'm like, then you decide something. Oh, no, I don't want that. It's like, oh my God.
I've like done things. I've turned everything into a game because obviously we're at home for so long. So my boyfriend loves to forget where the laundry hamper is. He likes to just throw his clothes like, you know, on the floor somewhere. So I decided one day I put post-it notes all over the house. Like I would put post-it notes on like a basket of laundry that was folded that said, hi, please put me away. I've been folded very nicely. And on the refrigerator, I put, you know, please remember to shut me. And on like the dishwasher, I put, please unload me. You know, little things all over the house, just because I've been like, it's fun to do little things like that. My dog and I have gone on a couple walks I obviously wear a mask and gloves anywhere I've gone, even just to walk outside. But we've turned other little things into games too. So we're always trying to make games around the house to make things just a little bit more interesting.
That's awesome. So there you go, listeners. If you want to do anything, turn your tasks into games.
Yes.
And they'll fly by.
So much fun.
Just be the on my fridge, there is no post-it, there is only a chain with a lock, but it's fine. So, Drag Race is now at season 12. New queens, new challenges, drama as usual. So, what do you think of the new contestants? Any favorite? I'm not going to ask you if you dislike someone, so I'm going to be nice and ask you, who do you like, actually?
I think the season has been really written for Gigi Good. And I have been a fan and friend of hers for years before Drag Race. So I'm really, really rooting for her. I hope she does really well. I think she's amazing. I also really love Jada Essence Hall. I think her drag is so polished. It's so her. And I think she's insanely talented. I'm trying to think who else is on my radar this season. I also really, do you know who I'm really bummed about that I really, really loved and I'm really sad that I already saw was eliminated? Was Rock'em Sakura.
I know.
Oh, I loved Rock'em. Yes.
Absolutely loved her. And I'm so bummed about her.
Oh, she was really sweet. And her drag was so animated, wasn't it? It was a shocking elimination.
It was a shocking elimination.
Yeah, it really was. I also find Crystal Method, her personality, to be one of my favorites this season.
Okay, well, given that you mentioned quite a lot of queens, that we can do the math and understand who you don't like. Fine. pretty clear.
I will say this. There may be a certain person on the season that I don't care for that person, but I do feel like their drag on the TV show has done very well. I'll say it like that.
Okay.
Oh, that's something. Yes.
It's pretty clear. It's what it is. We still seeing that person, and he's still competing. Mm-hmm. She's still competing. She's still in the competition. She's doing quite well. No matter whatever is happening, etc., and whatever will happen. So, Mikey, yours.
Yes. So the contestants from the series which you were participating in. So do you guys still keep in contact? Do you still have a good relationship with them?
And please, if not, just say no. That bitches, I hate them.
I will say this. So when we were on the season together, we all talked pretty much daily. We had a really big group chat. Mm. And right after our season aired, it kind of felt like the split of the top four girls plus, and then everybody else. We kind of felt like this split. It was like either the top four or you weren't in the top four. And there were two like really big groups. And I think those top four girls are still really close. And the rest of us, some of us are close. Like I still talk to the Vixen and Miss Cracker pretty often, but for the most part, we've kind of fallen out of contact. Most of us.
Oh, it's a shame. It's a shame. But these things happen, right? I mean, these things happen. And, you know, it's like when you like go to school and things for the first time, you know, everyone's there and then obviously everyone starts to split.
Yeah. I honestly, like truthfully, I really just wanted to make friends with everybody. And I feel like some people wanted to make friends, but some people also got really competitive even not being on the show. It's kind of like, oh, well, if so-and-so's going to do this, then I'm going to do this too. Just kind of like competitive with their careers. Which is fine, but I'm just not really like that.
No.
So I wish we could be closer than we were.
Good.
Oh, that's nice. And at the end of the day, you're still doing amazingly right now. Like I said, you're doing some films and some acting. You're doing your albums and things. It's like, you know, all awesome stuff.
And not just albums. Thanks, I'm really because, trying. You know, I'm basically bold, but let's talk about your business, Hair by Blair. Yeah.
Send him a wig. Yes. Send him a wig.
Yes, I need a wig because I'm bald, so I can wear a wig.
You get a wig. Yes. You get a wig. You get a wig.
You all get a wig.
Yes. Look underneath your chair right now. There's a wig right there just for you.
So how did you have the idea of start like making proper, and you know, you basically oversee all the aspect of the wigs. We've seen some of the photos on your social media and they're very, very nice.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. So before Drag Race, I went to cosmetology school. I got my license in here in the United States to be able to do hair, and I worked in a salon for a few years. And so I've obviously been doing hair for quite a few years, and I've always done my own wigs. In drag, there's been a few that I've had commissioned from other people, but 90% of the wigs that I've ever worn have been done by myself. So I thought about it. This was before we were all quarantined. So this, I luckily started this right at the best time possible. And I said, you know what? I was like, I'm spending a little bit more time at home than I used to. I'm doing a little bit less traveling by my choice. I've wanted to be a little bit with more family in the past year. And I've wanted to spend some more time at home and versus being on the road all the time, because the past 2 years I've been on the road constantly. So I was like, what can I do with my free time? And I thought about it, and I was like, you know, a lot of queens have their own makeup lines, but no queens on, from Drag Race, at least, really have their own wig line. But a couple queens really specialize in synthetic wigs. And so I thought, I was like, okay, well, I obviously do hair. Why don't I just make human hair wigs for everybody? So it kind of spun the idea, and it first started as a hobby, and it was really fun. And now I've been really lucky that it's been pretty much more of a big business. And I just found an investor last week that wanted to invest in my business to make it like a full realized business, which is so exciting.
Amazing. Amazing.
Yeah. So hopefully you'll be seeing even more. But I know right.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I know right now people are definitely, you know, being more conservative with their spending and being careful with where money goes. Obviously, you know, a lot of us aren't making nearly as much money as we used to while being quarantined. So I've definitely seen a little bit of a slower time right now with that. But hopefully after all this is over, things will come back to normal.
Well, at some point we need to go out and we need hair. I mean, I'm bald, so, you know, we will need
exactly.
hair.
Exactly.
It will end at some point.
That's another game I play around the house. Each day, it's a new wig day. So I'll wear like a wig for the entire day just for fun. Because what else do I have to do?
Oh my god. Okay, so I need to go to your site and I need to buy one of these, because yes. I want a Hair by Blair wig. I need one of these.
Please. I actually have, really soon, I have a mini collection of about 6 wigs that will be live very soon, probably within the next week or so. And every single one of the wigs will be ready to ship, ready. It's kind of like ready to order. So it'll just be like ready to ship. It's not like a custom order. It's just like I'm ready to go. And I'm really excited about those too.
It's good.
Awesome.
Because,
I will certainly check that out.
Yes. The only game I do is which side of my scalp I will see the sun reflection on today. So, yes. Yes.
That's great.
I know. Tell me about it.
Oh,
music,
no worries.
Michael.
You'll
music.
Be fine.
Let's talk about music.
Cool. So, in December, you know, your latest single was released. Correct me if I'm wrong, okay? You know, back when we could all leave the house, and it's called Easy Love. So we're going to listen to it as part of the show, but do you want to tell us a little bit about the track and what your inspiration was to write it?
Yes. So Easy Love was in collaboration with a few other producers and writers. And obviously my first album is definitely targeted to like dance pop music. It's much more dancey and fun and upbeat. And my new album that I've been working on for the past year and a half is all pop music. It's pop. It has little influence R&B in it. So I was like, what can we do just to really throw people? Do something completely different before that new album comes out. So we released a single just by itself, and it's called Easy Love. And Easy Love to me is about how love necessarily isn't always easy. The crate aren't always easy to keep. But the feeling behind love is effortless. And so relationships may be hard, but like the feeling is just joyful. And so the song to me is just really ethereal. It's really bright and it's really fun. And I just wanted to do something completely different than anything I've ever released, just to kind of shock people and do something different and just to kind of get them ready for something completely different and just try some new fun things.
That's cool. All right. So we're really, really looking forward to hearing this. So what I thought we would do is just for a moment, I would like you to become a presenter of Glitter Beam Radio, okay?
Hi, everyone. You're listening to Glitter Beam Radio. I'm Blair St. Clair, and you're listening to my new song, Easy Love.
I wasn't ready to fall, no. I didn't think this would be the time or place. Now your body is so close. Are you looking for love or just? just all the lights in the crowd and you're whispering up and repeat on repeat and it's you and it's me cause it's easy enough when the lights go out. What's it gonna be when the sun comes round? It's easy enough, easy enough, easy enough. It's easy enough when the lights go
Sinclair, and we are in conclusion of this special. Mikey, thank you for joining.
No, thank you. Thank you. That was an amazing, amazing interview. And, you know, she was fantastic.
Yes, she really is. Stay tuned because Stay at Home with Glitterbeam continue. And there is a lot more to come, Mike, isn't it?
There is. So stay at home. You better. Okay? Stay at home.
And I'll talk to all of you at the next special. Bye.
Bye.